Parshas Chukas. We'll start off with the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, which we've said over many times in the past, but it's a very important Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. In the beginning of the parasha, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Beis, Zayis Chukas HaTayra Shetziva Hashem Leima. This is the law of the Torah, the Chayk of the Torah that Hashem commanded us. Daber al Bnei Yisrael, the Yikchu Elecha Fara Aduma Tmima. Speak to Bnei Yisrael and take a Fara Aduma. And all the Mepharshim are bothered. Why is this called Zayis Chukas HaTayra? This is the Chayk, the law of the Torah. Shouldn't it have said Zayis Chukas HaPara? This is the din of the Parah Aduma. What are we discussing about afterwards? The din of the Parah Aduma, the whole parasha of Parah Aduma. Why is it called Zayis Chukas HaTayra and not Zayis Chukas HaPara? Kasher bothers many of the Mepharshim. And there's the famous Aruch Chaim HaKadosh who says the following. I just want to quote. He says, the difference that Klal Yisrael was elevated from the Goyim is due to Kabbalah Satayra, is through Kabbalah Satayra. Shezu Azeh, without the Torah, he nekechoha Goyim Beis Yisrael. All the Goyim and Bnei Yisrael are the same. The Torah is what separates us from the Goyim. And therefore, it says, Zoyis Chukas HaTayra. The entire Parsha Paraduma, the entire concept of Tumah, comes from the Torah. The fact that Torah separates us from a goy. Ki ayidei shekiblu haTorah through Bnei Yisrael, being mekabel the Torah, nasa am Bnei Yisrael dovo shaharuchniim hashveilim te'evim uhidovik bahem. Klal Yisrael is kadosh. The goyim don't have kedusha. Those that don't have kedusha desire to attach themselves to connect to those who have kedusha, so they should have some kedusha. The kedusha attracts them. Therefore, when a goy goes ahead and a goy sees Bnei Yisrael, the goy is attracted to the kedusha. When a yid dies, it's a keli of his mole kedusha. The guf of a yid is mole mitzvah, it's full of mitzvahs. Now the keli is empty, but there are traces of kedusha that remain behind. The keli is filled with kedusha. When a yid dies, it becomes tamei. A mace is the avia avos tumah. Why is a mace the avia avos tumah? The highest level of tumah is a mace, because a mace has the most kedusha. And now that the kedusha left, the neshama leaves, what happens? All the tumah in the world comes and tries to attract itself to it. And therefore, what we call the klipos come and they are attracted to a mace, the guf of a yid that's molei mitzvos. And therefore, the body of a yid is metamei b'mago, b'masa, b'oyel. If one touches a mace, one carries a mace, one's in the same room as a mace, he's tamei. A goy is not metamei b'oyel. A goy metamei with mago b'masa, but not b'oyel. Because a goy doesn't have that kedusha that's left behind. And the tumah or the klipos are not attracted to the body of a goy. And the Aruch Chaim gives this famous mashul. A person takes out two kelim. He brings two kelim outside. One is malaya devash. One is filled with honey. And one is malaya zevel. One's filled with zevel and schmutz and so on. And he takes them outside and he puts it outside. Which one attracts more flies and more bugs and more insects? The honey or the zevel? The one that's filled with honey, all the flies and all the insects are attracted and gathered to the sweetness of the honey. And the one that's filled with zevel, there are some insects attracted, but not as many as the honey attracts. So too, Adam Yisrael Shemes. When an Adam Yisrael dies, he's molei kedusha, he's filled with kedusha, hamesuk of harev, the sweet kedusha. So when the neshama leaves and the guf is empty, suddenly all the klipos and all the tumah comes and is attracted to the kedusha, to this guf that was a keli of kedusha, and they want to connect to it. So therefore, when the body of a mace is the highest level of tumah, because it's the highest level of kedusha, and it attracts the klipos and the tumah to it. Masha'in kein, a guy does not. Therefore, it says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Zayis Chukas HaTayra. Because you know what is a whole din of Tumas Meis? You know what is a whole concept of Meis being Tomei, Avia Vais HaTumah? And the only way to remove it is with the din of the Parah, because the Torah separates us from the Goy. Zayis Chukas HaTayrah. Without the Torah, a Yisroel, Yid is just like a Goy. Like Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yossi said, if not for the Torah, Kama Yossi Yika B'Shuka. how many Yaisis there are in the marketplace. Kama Yehudi Ika B'shuka, how many Yehudas there are out in the marketplace. The Torah is what separates us from the Goyim. So Zayis Chukas HaTorah, this is the din of the Torah. It says later on, in Perichof, Pasuk Yud Beis, the whole Maisa with the Mei Meriva, Hashem tells Moshe, take the stick, and gather the Eda, speak to the rock, and take out water. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead, and Vayorem, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Chof Yud Aleph, Vayorem, Moshe Es Yodoy, Moshe lifts his hand, Vayachas Aser Abdelatel Pamoyim, and he hits the rock twice. And water comes out, and everybody drinks. Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, "Yan lohem mantem bi lahakti sheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael, because he didn't trust in me to be mekadesh my name in front of b'nei Yisrael." And Rashi says, "Lahakti sheni." Had Moshe spoken to the rock, and the rock would have produced water, ha'yisi mekudosh le'enei ha'eda. Hashem would have been mekudosh in front of everybody, and people would say, "A rock that can't speak, and a rock that can't hear, and a rock doesn't need parnasa." Still, he's mekayim the words of Hashem, kal v'chomer, how we have to mekayim the words of Hashem. And because Moshe Rabbeinu did not use the opportunity to mekayim Hashem Shemayim, for that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. Not for now, but over Shabbos, if you have a chance, look at the Arachayim HaKadosh, and it brings down 10 different reasons and from Mefarshim why Moshe was punished. Very interesting reasons why Moshe was punished for the Maisa of Mei Meriva.
Why did he do it?
Different reasons why.
Reasons
different reasons why he did.
What's the
Perik Chof, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yes. The Lahakti Sheni. We all have a chance in the Kadesh Shem Shemayim. A Yid's job in this world is to go out in the Kadesh Shem Shemayim. Lahakti Sheni, Le'enei B'nei Yisrael. You know, a person walks out in the street and he says, me? Nobody's looking at me. Nobody's watching me. Doesn't matter where I go. Doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter how I behave. But it's a big mistake. Because no matter who a person is, if you're dressed for the Yid, you're wearing the uniform, people look at you. And people learn from you. And a person has the opportunity every day to Mekar Shem Shemayim. Famous story from the times of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Baal Shem Tov wanted to know who his neighbor in Gan Eden would be. Who would be his neighbor in Gan Eden? Famous story. Shem Tov, it was revealed to him that his neighbor would be a Yid by the name of Yaakov Yosef, the Tzaddik Yaakov Yosef. Shem Tov asks around, does anyone know Yaakov Yosef? Who's this Tzaddik Yaakov Yosef? To make a long story short, the only Yaakov Yosef that anyone knew of was a woodchopper who lived on the outskirts of town, and he was anything but a Tzaddik. Anything but a Tzaddik. Rav Shem Tov figured that Tzaddik Nistor, he must be a hidden Tzaddik. So he went to visit him in his hut, and he asked permission to stay there for a few days so he could observe him and figure out what his tzidkus is, what his righteousness is, and why he's going to be his neighbor in Gan Eden. And he's there for a few days, and he doesn't see anything abnormal. All he sees is a woodchopper, gets up in the morning, chops wood, and he eats. And this woodchopper has an appetite, and he eats, and he eats, and he eats. And he can't figure out why he's a tzaddik, why this person is going to go to Gan Eden. So finally, Baal Shem Tov asks him, and he says to him, tell me, why do you eat so much? I see, you work very hard, and you have a tremendous appetite. You eat, and you eat, and you eat. And he says, because years ago he says, my father was together with some other Yidden, and they were attacked by Goyim. The Goyim attacked them. And after the Goyim robbed them, the Goyim decided, let's shepherd a Yidden. And they took out a cross, and they wanted Yidden to bend down in front of the cross. And some of them unfortunately did. My father stood up to them. My father was a strong Avra, He was able to fight them off. My father was able to fight them off. And I said to myself that if Chas V'Sham, that happens one day to me, that the Goyim come to me, and they want me to bow down to their Avodah Zarah, I have to be strong to be able to resist. So every day when I go to chop the wood, and I swing the axe, I have Kavanah that I'm training my muscles, I'm strengthening myself, L'shem Shemayim, that if it ever comes to a point where the Goyim will come and try to force me to serve their Avodah Zarah, I'll have the koiches to fight back. And that's why I eat so much. I have to be strong. I need kaychas. And every bite that I take, I eat b'shem shemayim. I eat the food. I should be strong and healthy so that I should have kayach to be able to fight back and not have to bow down to their avodah zarah. Baal Shem Tov said, now I understand. Lach b'sheni. Every act that a person does, even acts of eating, sleeping, working, whatever a person does, a person can be mekadesh shem shemayim. It all depends on the intent that a person has. The Mechaber brings down about someone sleeping during the day. She wants to sleep during the day and not take a nap. And he writes, his kavan is l'shem shemayim. His kavan is he's sleeping in order to wake up with kayach, to be able to learn better, to be able to daven better, to serve Hashem, that may all means. But a person who's doing it and his kavan is not l'shem shemayim, then it's not a good idea. But every aspect that a person does, every action a person does, a person can always use l'shem shemayim. Later on in the parasha, Perichof, Pasuk Chof Dalad, the Pasuk says, Vayisu Mikodesh. The Yidden traveled to Mikodesh, right by Chamishi, Chof Beis. Vayisu Mikodesh, they traveled to Mikodesh, Vayavoyu Vnei Yisrael, Kol Ha'edo Har Ahar. And Bnei Yisrael came to Har Ahar, and Aaron HaKayin dies by Har Ahar. And the Medrash brings down, what is the Smichas HaParashiyos? Right before Chamishi, Bnei Yisrael tried to negotiate with Edom, with the Melech of Edom, to go through the territory, the land of Edom. Vayimoyin Edom, Edom refuses, Yisrael turns away, before Chamishi, then Pasuk Chof Beis, right after Chamishi, they travel, they came Horaha, Aaron dies. So as the Medrash is a Smichas HaPsukim. There's a connection between the two parashiyos. And the lesson says the Medrash is, when a person connects himself to a Rasha, a person humbles himself before a Rasha, a person tries to connect to a Rasha, it has not good results, not good consequences. And since they tried to negotiate with Edom, who was a Rasha, Melech Edom, the fact that they were close to Edom, that somehow had a connection and brought about the Misa of Aaron, of Aaron HaKohen. Being the Gra brings down that the Beis HaMikdash was built in the Chelek of Binyamin. Why was the Beis HaMikdash built in the Chelek of Binyamin? Says the Gra, because Binyamin was the only one of the Shvatim who did not bow down to Esav. The Pasuk says that Yaakov, his two wives, his two Shvachos, his Achad Osi Yilodov, and his 11 children, and his 11 children bow down to, and his 11 children bow down. Binyamin was the only one of the Shvatim who did not bow down to Esav. Since Binyamin didn't bow down, he was zeichet to have the Beis HaMikdash in his chelek. But those that did bow down, there was a connection, some attachment with a Rasha, and that had an effect even Dairis later. A person has to be careful not to be connected to Rishoyim. They say a story with the Beis HaLevi. Before Brisk, he was the Rav in Slutsk. He was in Slutsk. So very at that time, the waves of modern reform already had started, and big, big issues that were happening. There was a very wealthy man in the city who was making a bar mitzvah for his son. And of course, the Rav, Beis HaLevi, was expected to come to the bar mitzvah, show kavod to the wealthy father. And the wealthy father sent a fancy carriage to pick up the Beis HaLevi. And the wealthy man was in a carriage himself with a few of his friends, and they came to the Rav's house to pick him up, to bring him to the bar mitzvah. And the Beis HaLevi says to the father, tell me, what is your son going to speak about? Which sugya is your son going to discuss by the bar mitzvah? What's his bar mitzvah drasha about? So the wealthy man says to the Beis HaLevi, Rabbi, times are changing. Times are changing. Nowadays, it's not the style anymore for a bar mitzvah boy to say a pshetel, to speak words of Torah. Boy speaks about his plans, his aspirations, but words of Torah are not the style now. So basically he said, if that's the case, I'm not going. Minig Yisraeli, the by bar mitzvah, a mitzvah boy says, Abshatul, Divrei Torah, he's not saying Divrei Torah, I'm not going. And the wealthy man says, Rabbi, you know who I am. You know what happens in this town, you know what happens in this city. Nothing happens here without our okay. Be a very good idea if you came to a mitzvah. Don't take life so seriously. Come. There happened to be an ani, a poorer man who was there, who was also making a bar mitzvah that day. And he said to the Beis HaLevi, my son is saying a drasha. My son is saying a pshatel. So Levi puts on his coat and he says, I'm coming to your bar mitzvah. I want to hear your son's pshat. The rich man was furious, angry, comes back to the bar mitzvah without the rav, and everyone hears the story. And he and his chavra decided they're going to take revenge. They went around, they controlled a lot of the real estate in the town. They went around and they were able to force everybody to agree not to rent a dira, not to rent an apartment or a house to the Beis HaLevi. It came to the point where they put such pressure on the landlord, the Beis HaLevi was living presently, that the landlord went to the Beis HaLevi and he said to him, apologizing, it's not my fault, but they're putting tremendous pressure on me, financial pressure, and I can't let you stay in the house anymore. And Beis HaLevi had to go, and any time he tried to rent the house, he was refused, because these wealthy men controlled the whole real estate. The governor of that district found out that Beis HaLevi was homeless. He offered the Beis HaLevi a mansion of his to live in. And the Beis HaLevi refused. He said, if I take your house, it'll be a tremendous chilul Hashem. If I take your house, the Yidden didn't want to give me a place to live. I'm going to live in the house that the governor, the guy, offered me. You're tremendous chilul Hashem. Beis HaLevi refused, and he left the city of Slutsk, and he moved on in life. Sometimes a person needs a certain tekifus, a certain strength, a certain stubbornness. With Shem Shemayim, a person has to know when he has to stand up for what's right. It was only by mitzvah pshato, but a person has to know that a minig of Yisrael tairihi, a person has to be careful not to associate with those people that are not acting correctly and can bring a person down. Going back to the beginning of the parasha, a famous marshal of the Chofetz Chaim said over countless times, but it's true each time we say it over. The pasuk tells us in Perek Yutas Pasuk Yudalid, Zois HaTayra Adam Ki Yomus Ba'ayel. This is the din, the Torah, a person who dies in an ayel, in a tent, in a room, Kol HaBa'ayel Ayel. Whoever comes into the ayel, the Chol HaShem Ba'ayel, whatever's in the ayel, Yitma Shivas Yomim is tameh for seven days. And the Gemara in Brachas Samach Kimel and Beis, the Gemara says, Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimim El B'mi Shemay Mis Atzmai Aleihem. Divrei Torah is only mekuyim, only exists by somebody who's willing to literally die for Torah. He's willing to be meis and nefesh for Torah. And the Chofetz Chaim gave his famous marshal, which I think we said over probably the past years. There was once a Yid, and as life goes on, he's busy with Parnassa. He had a store, and every morning from the time he woke up to the time he went to sleep, he was busy with the store, opening, closing, buying, selling, negotiating. He had no time. No time even to go to shul, to daven. Forget learning. No time to even daven with a minion. He woke up in the morning, was straight to the store, daven the Shachris B'Yechidus, 1, 2, 3, a mincha in the middle of the day. Are you kidding? No time. Marv so exhausted at night. And the years went on and on and on without tefillah, without Torah. One day he looks in the mirror and he starts to see the white hairs. And he sees the hairs are turning white. And he says, oh, the hairs are turning white. Life's moving on. He has to move on in life. Like the Gemara says, a person's hairs turns white to remind the person that he's getting older. He has to stop appearing himself. He has a hair of tshuva. He decides that next morning he's going to go to shul. Or daven with a minion. He goes to shul. The next morning davens shachris. Opens the store a little bit later. He takes a break for a mincha. Davens a ma'ariv. And one thing leads to another. He decides to learn. Next morning he goes to shul. And after shachris, instead of opening the store, he sits and he learns 2 hours in the Beis Medrash. And finally opens the store at 11 o'clock. Meanwhile, the customers are standing by the store. They're accustomed to the store being open early. And they're knocking on the doors and the windows. Open up, we have to buy our groceries. And he's nowhere to be found. They go running to his house. They wake up his wife. Where's your husband? What happened? No one's in the store. Never happened to us before. He's there, always very early. Where is he? She says, I have no idea. I don't know where he is. She gets all worried. Finally, he comes at 11 o'clock, opens the store. He's there the rest of the day. Comes home, his wife says to him, what happened? What happened to you? Nothing, don't worry about it. The next morning, the same thing happens. He's back to shul, he learns for 2 hours, and again, they wake up his wife, where is he? And she realizes that something is happening that she's not aware of. Finally, she confronts him, And she says, where were you? What are you doing every day till 11 o'clock? And he says, I'll tell you the truth. I had a little hair at Shuva, and I changed my ways, and every morning I go to shul, and I learn, and then he opened the store. And she lets him have it. Are you Meshuga? What happened to you? The customers are waiting. You're going to close down the store. You're going to ruin our panasa, ruin our business. What got into you? What happened to you? Don't you dare do that again. Tomorrow morning, make sure the store opens on time. Next morning, back in shul, they work for 2 hours. It comes again at 11 o'clock. And she lets him have it. How dare you? She lets him have it. He says to her, let me ask you a question. What would be if the Malach HaMavis came? And the Malach HaMavis said, he's taking your husband away. Would you tell the Malach HaMavis, I'm sorry, you can't have him, he has to open the store. You can't have him now, the customers are waiting, he has to open the store. Of course not. You can't tell the Malach HaMavis to wait. He says, from now on, for those 2 hours every morning, I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to the world, I'm not here. And every morning at 11 o'clock, Tchiyas HaMesim, and I come back. Every morning at 11 o'clock, there'll be Tchiyas HaMesim, and I come back to the world, and I'll open the store. But for those 2 hours, I'm completely dead to the world. So the Chavetz Chaim, that's Peshat in the Gemara. Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimim, El B'misha Mei Misatmei Aleha. Divrei Torah is only Mekaim, the one who's willing to die for Torah. It doesn't mean he has to give up his life. It means the time that he learns, he forgets about the world. The world is not here. Right now, his job is to learn. He's Mei Misatmei Aleha, a person who could remove himself from the world and dedicate himself to learning. So the MS, I'm in Avelis now. My father was lifted last week. And the Levai was Rosh Chodesh. There were no espedim to be said on Rosh Chodesh. So during Shiva, somebody asked me, if I would have said a hesped, what would I have said? Somebody asked me, if I would have said a hesped, what would I have said? So I thought for a minute and I said, I can't answer you. Because b'shas, it's the emotions that come out of a person. I would have said what I felt at that time. Once I start thinking and preparing, it's not the same. You have to start thinking, preparing what to say. It's a speech. It's not a hesped. A hesped of dvarim ha'yotzim in a wave. Or words that come out of the heart. A speech is when one sits down and prepares. So I can't answer you what I would have said b'shas ma'isa. But when I saw this story of Chavetz Chaim, it struck home. The last few years, actually more than that, if my father retired, he would go out every day to learn. He hadn't missed a minyan shul for years and years and years. And every morning, he would go to a shir to learn. In the beginning, he had a car, and then he gave up the car. And even when it was hard to go outside, and he had to take a bus, later on it became he had to take 2 buses, and it was cold, and it was difficult, he had trouble walking. Father went every day. She gave my father some rides. People tell me, you saw my father waiting on Ocean Avenue. And my father rides to Ashir. And my father never wanted to be matriach anybody. Where are you going? No, tell me where you're going and I'll get off. And everyone knew already. Okay, it's on the way. But my father was Mei Misatmei Aleha. He gave up all his time. He gave up all his kayach to be able to learn Torah. And even though it was difficult to go, it was difficult to return, and it was cold outside, and with days, he would say to me, should I go, shouldn't I go? And I would say, don't go, it's cold. My father would say, no, it's okay. We'll just put on another sweater, put on a scarf, bundle up, and we'll go outside to learn. That was the mornings. Came home in the afternoon, he would run in the house. One of my nephews would call him, go with him in person or over the phone. And then it came the nighttime, and every night, either Ellie or I would bring my father here to learn, to come to share. And believe me, there were many nights where I would say to my father, it's too cold outside, you're too tired, it's hard, stay home. And the answer was always the same. If you're going, I'm going. Pick me up, come and take me. And we would pick him up, bring him, and take him back home. But Misha may misatmeila. Divrei Torah is only miskayim by one who's may misatmeila, who's willing to give up what he has in order to be able to learn, in order to be able to learn Torah. Shpiyeschus. Bemes Chazal tell us, if one of the Bnei Chabura are meis, yidagu kol Bnei Chabura. The whole Bnei Chabura should worry. If one of the members of the Chabura passes away, the whole Chabura should worry. It's not a good sign for the whole Chabura. But if the opposite, if they learn from the Nifta, and it brings us to greater levels, to higher levels, then it's the greatest chus for all of us. And the nifta brought us to greater levels. If you look back at his mesiras nefesh, it brings us to higher levels of learning. And when it's difficult to go outside, and it's difficult to come, say to myself, remember those cold nights? Remember those difficult nights? How my father came and he pushed himself to come. How could I not go? I came here tonight, and Hashem asked me, is there a chumash here tonight? And I'll tell you the truth. I had a very hard day today. It's the first day after Shiva, back. I hadn't slept in a week. It was a very hard day. And I came home, and I said, I don't have koiches. How am I going to prepare a chumash here? And then I said to myself, but how can I not prepare a chumash here? How can I not? If I can't. My father gave me an akayach to be able to go on. The pasuk says later on, Perichof Aleph, pasuk Vav and pasuk Zayin, Vayishlach Hashem ba'om es anachoshim hasrofim. Hashem sent to punish the people, the nachoshim, the snakes that were poisonous. They bit the people, and it says in pasuk Zayin, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hispalo al Hashem, the yoser me'aleinu es anachosh, daven to Hashem and remove the nachosh from us. And again, the Chofetz Chaim asked, and from Shema bothered by this kasha, in Pasuk Vav it says, Hashem sent nechoshim hasrofim, a Russian rabbin, many snakes. In Pasuk Zayin, the Pasuk says, they came to Moshe and they said, Hispalel el Hashem, davin to Hashem, v'yoser mi'aleinu es hanochosh. Remove from us this snake. This snake? There was only one? Pasuk Vav just said, there were nechoshim hasrofim, there were many snakes. They should have said to Moshe Rabbeinu Davin, remove from us as hanachoshim, the snakes. Why does it say as hanachosh, a roshin yachid? And says the Chofetz Chaim, that the nachosh that they said, that he asked Moshe Rabbeinu Davin about, was not referring to the physical nachoshim. We're not referring to the physical snakes. There were many physical snakes. They were referring to the aveira, the nachosh, that brought about the aveira. What was the aveira? It says earlier in Pasuk Hey, Vayidaber Ha'om, the people spoke against the Elohim, against Hashem, over Moshe and against Moshe. Lomo, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to die in the Midbar? There's no bread, there's no water. Our nefesh is disgusted by the mon. They spoke badly about what Hashem had did. The Nochosh represents the Lashon Hara that they spoke. They said to Moshe, Davin, to remove the Aveira. And once the Aveira goes away, then we'll be saved. It wasn't the physical nechoshim, but rather the nechosh. The Chofetz Chaim writes, every time a person does an aveira, it creates a katega, a prosecutor, a malach that prosecutes in Shemayim. But the prosecutor is silent. He's quiet. It exists. It's there. If the person does tshuva, then Hashem could remove the malach, the katega, and it's forgotten. But when a person speaks to Lashon Hara, he creates such a powerful katega, such a powerful prosecutor who talks and speaks. Just like the Aveira of Lashon Hara came about through speech, through talking, the Malach that's created from the Aveira of talking talks. And that Malach talks and constantly in the Bezen Shemayla reminds Hashem about the Lashon Hara a person spoke. Much harder to do tshuva. Because even if Hashem wants to be Meichel a person, the prosecutor is standing on the side screaming, look what he did! Someone's screaming, don't be Meichel him! It's not like every other Aveira with a Katega with a prosecutor silent. For the Aveira of Lashon Hara, the prosecutor speaks out loud. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem, remove the Nachosh, remove the source of the Aveira, remove the Lashon Hara. When the Lashon Hara is removed, then Klal Yisrael will have a Yeshua. How will they have a Yeshua? They looked at the snake that Moshe made put on a pole. And the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, V'chi Nachosh mei misamechaya? Was it the snake that killed them or gave them life? But it means, when they looked up to Shemayim, Bizman Shei Yisrael, Mestakon, Lamayla, they looked to Shemayim, Meshtabdim Esliban, Lavien, Sheva Shemayim, then they were Zeichet to Yeshua. But Moshe David to remove the Nachosh, Lashon Hara. And the Chofetz Chaim is down the Gemara in Erechin Tezvav. The Gemara in Erechin Tezvav in Mabei says that all the Chayos will also become to the Nachosh and say to the Nachosh, what Hanah do you have from biting a person, from attacking a person? The lion bites, kills, it eats its prey. A bear attacks, eats its prey. A nachosh, it bites a person, doesn't eat. A nachosh eats the earth, doesn't eat. So that all the animals say to the nachosh, to the snake, what anah do you have? And the nachosh says, why are you asking me? Go ask the Baal Lashon Hara what Hanoah he has when he speaks Lashon Hara. What does he accomplish when he bites a person when he speaks Lashon Hara? The Gemara compares the Nachash to the Baal Lashon, the one who speaks Lashon Hara. Moshe was Mispalel to remove the snake, the source of the Aveira, the Lashon Hara itself. Says the Chavetz Chaim, we daven, Navinu Malkeinu, we say, Avinu Malkeinu, Kale Kol Tsar Umasta Mi'aleinu. Remove all enemies, the Sultan from us. And right afterwards, what do we say? Avinu Malkeinu, says, Sain Piyois Mastineinu Makachmigeinu. Close the mouth of our accusers, our enemies. Didn't we just say, Kale Kol Tsar Umasta, remove all the enemies. And then, Mispalel, close the mouths of Mastineinu Makachmigeinu. If the enemies are destroyed, what's the sign piyos? What's closing the mouths? Says the Chavetz Chaim, because the first Avinu Malkeinu refers to the other prosecutors for other aveiros. The second Avinu Malkeinu refers to the katega of Lashon Hara. Because when a person speaks Lashon Hara, the katega that prosecutes speaks, talks. Just like the aveira of Lashon Hara came about through speech, the katega, the malach, created from that aveira, constantly prosecutes and speaks. So the mespalo is the sign piyos. Close the mouths of those malachim that are prosecuting against us for the averis that we did. The Mishnah, the Yerushalmi at the end of Peah brings down, just like Talmud Torah Kenegat Kulam, on the flip side, on the opposite side, Lashon Hara Kenegat Kulam. Talmud Torah is equal to all mitzvahs, because a person with one word accomplishes many mitzvahs. A person learns for a few minutes, for an hour, thousands of mitzvahs. Each word is a separate mitzvah. But Lashon Hara, on the flip side, a person speaks Lashon Hara, each word is an Aveira. There's no faster way of accumulating Aveiras, of gathering Aveiras and speaking Lashon Hara. You have Talmud Torah, you have Lashon Hara. Those that knew my father well knew that Lashon Hara, he never spoke. My father, all the years, I never saw him angry. He was never involved in any machlokes. There were many times where he had a tzad, a right to take one side, and he always stayed out. He was always mevater. He always stayed out. Avoided machlokes. Never to get involved in a machlokes. And if someone asked his opinion, he would say, you're right. And if the other one asked his opinion, you're right. Half of you both be right. You're also right. Everybody was always right. He always avoided machlokes. And that's the one thing that I learned over the years. And even though there were times where the father had was right, and it would have been legitimate to take one side or to say something, he always held himself back. The same way my father lived his life, to Gan Eden, for all of us, and forget, if you learn from the Nifter, be a schus for all of us, let's learn Talmud Torah, how he was Machshiv Torah, how he came to learn, even when it was difficult, and how he was always careful not to speak Lashon Hara, to avoid a machlokes, to be a schus for all of us, shtach b'zoiche, to Yeshuas, to Chomas, to see Mitzvah Shem, to Chiyas HaMesim, and Mashiach, b'hir v'yimeinu, amen.